Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 14. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. That's all I got. Now, the problem that we have is sometimes we think, well, what about this and what about, forget all that, just go with it, follow Him, stay with Him, because He's the good shepherd. He'll lead you beside still waters. But that means you've got to follow Him a little while. You'll find the still waters, and He'll make you to lie down in green pastures. You'll be there saying, man, I'm getting more here than I know what to do with, and He'll say, it's time to lay down now, take a rest. You know, sheep are so, I hate to use the word dumb, but that's the words used of them, that they will eat themselves to a point of death. They will eat themselves to death. And a shepherd many times has to lay them down. And not all sheep will do that, but some will. So He makes them to lie down in green pastures so they're not eating all the time. Sometimes you need to just let Him be the shepherd. Verse 8 says, after they had left that city, in verse 6, that they came to the city of Lystra. And as they came there, they preached there, in verse 7 it says, and surrounding cities. And verse 8 says, and there was a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who never had walked. This is a guy who never had walked. Now, I want you to know, put this in the proper context. Today, if we meet somebody who has never walked, we probably don't know it. We figure there was an accident, something happened. We don't know, because community is not what it once was. If somebody was in a community who had never walked, everybody knew it. Well, there's Sam. He's never walked. You know, he was born that way. His legs were crippled up, but he's just never walked. And everybody knew it. So when God was in the signs business in these days of the apostles, it was at a perfect time because people still had that community. And they would know when somebody was healed, it was a genuine healing. You don't fake 35 years of crippledness and then suddenly walk. When it happened, everybody's like, wow, that happened. I remember going to a faith healer's meeting or whatever when I was a kid. I was probably 9 or 10 years old. And I remember the faith healer telling somebody to come up, and somehow he was wheelchair ridden or something. I can't remember all of the details. I just remember the goosebumps that I got when I saw the guy throw away his helper for his walking, and he was walking, and everybody was applauding. And I'll tell you what, that made a goosebump on a 9-year-old, but now that I'm in my 50s, I know that that is a charade. I can go to somebody like Johnny Erickson Tata, who sat in a group who was put off to the side and was hoping with many that they would come to them, and they would not come to them, and they would shuttle them out. And I know the stories, and I know the greed and the graft of those people who are out there saying they're healing people. And then I read my Bible and it says there's going to be false teachers in your time, and they're going to come like there were false prophets in the Old Testament. And they're going to make merchandise of you. He says you need to be careful about that, because you want to go to the good place. Everything's nice and fine. But this is not the good place. And if you read it, it said they just had to leave the town in chapter 13 because, you know, they were throwing them out of town. And then you get to chapter 14, and what do you have? You have them run out of town again because somebody's trying to stone them with stones. You see, when you're a child, you speak as a child. You behave as a child. But when you become a man, you put away childish things. And that's true spiritually as well. The church was a baby. It needed a lot of props and efforts. They didn't have a finished New Testament yet. They had to have their run into problems so that the apostles could write down and say, this is what you need to do here. You need to be careful about that. Let those people be accursed. Blessed are these people. Give double honor to these people. Be careful, be careful, be careful. Because this is a hostile world down here. They needed to get to that point. But before they got to that point, God would confirm His message with signs and wonders, as was said in verse 3. So as we come to this next stage in Lystra, we have this man sitting with impotent feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. And he leaped and walked. I'd get a goosebump if I saw that, wouldn't you? That's pretty awesome. He didn't just get up slowly or quiveringly. This man leaped and walked. When God does a healing, it is a complete healing. But notice some things in this section, because this is something we need to unpack, because people might misinterpret it. The Bible says the same heard Paul speak. What was he speaking? Well, he's speaking the unsearchable riches about Jesus. He was telling about how Jesus was the Messiah. But if he just came off of a campaign in another city where signs and wonders and miracles were happening, he's going to mention that. You know, Jesus gave us these miracles even in this last city. Well, this man's looking at Paul and he's saying, you know, I believe about Jesus. I believe that. And you say he does. I believe whatever he says, he can do. And Paul, when it says, perceived that he had faith to be healed, I want you to be very careful about that, because the Greek word for the word healed here means saved. It's sozo. Literally, this is saying he had faith to be saved. It included healing, and therefore God would use him. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been times when I've perceived some things in my journey with Jesus. There's a communication that can be taken when some things are going on. And I want you to know that when this man was hearing everything Paul said, Paul could perceive by the Holy Spirit's enablement, certainly, but he could perceive. This man was really leaning in. And you know, sometimes I'm preaching and I know people are leaning in. And I want you to know, this is not something that happens all the time. But there are times when people walk into this church that are visiting and they're leaning in, and I know they're taking in every drop of the word. I mean, they're just saying, wow, bring it. You know, this is amazing. And you perceive it. Well, for this man, Paul perceived that he had faith to be saved. Sozo. Not fepuo, which is usually the word. This is sozo. This is to be saved. In this case, because of the heels of the campaign in the previous city, there would in fact have been a connective in this man's mind, but that is being imposed upon the passage as far as the Greek is concerned. Verse 10 says, so Paul said with a loud voice, stand upright, and thy feet, and he leaped and he walked. And so when Paul said that, that really was pretty awesome. He perceived he had faith. And he said, stand up and walk. And the guy had complete understanding. It's sort of like what we saw back a couple of chapters ago with Cornelius, where as soon as he said all who would believe in him would have remission of sins, immediately they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. This man had it all, man. He's leaning on the edge of his seat. He was probably a proselyte already, because he had foundation enough to go beyond just the words Paul was saying and put it into its context. Have you ever just said, aha, about something? That was what happened here. And Paul took it to the level of, stand upright on thy feet. And the Bible says, when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted their voices, saying in the speech of Laconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Now, some of this is familiar, right, on the front. I mean, you recognize perhaps Mercury. Well, in the Greek, this is Zeus and Hermes. Hermes, Mercury are messengers. Jupiter and Zeus are chief gods among the Greeks. And that's what we have before us. Zeus and Hermes. These people really worship them. And they really believed that the gods came down. You just have to read their literature on mythology, which was taught to many of us in school. They had passions like humans. They just had powers that were beyond human. And sometimes they would walk among humans and they would be in some way kind of obscured. In fact, this city, it is said in some commentaries that there was a earthquake or some such that came upon the people. And that earthquake was something that made the people think that they had dismissed gods that came among them. So this is a big deal for them, especially because they think they missed it maybe a couple decades earlier. And so now they're here and they're seeing this miracle and they're thinking this is Zeus and Hermes. And it says that they called Barnabas, verse 12, Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker. And then the priest of Jupiter or Zeus, which was before the city, brought oxen and garlands under the gates and would have done sacrifice to the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard thereof, they rent their clothes and ran in the midst of people crying out. Now notice they didn't know what they were doing at first. You know what that means? That means they were not given the gift of interpretation at this point. They couldn't understand them. Now, I say that because God could have. Right? He could have let them understand that supernaturally, but He didn't. Why did He not? Because there was going to need to be some impassionment to these men's hearts when they began to get these people to back off on their agenda. Now, I know there are times we wonder, why did this happen and why did that happen? Why didn't God stop this or stop that? I want you to know, God could and always could, but God sometimes wants His people to go to a certain level with Him, because He's the shepherd, right? He's saying, I'm going to let you worry what's going on, and when you find out, it's going to startle you enough to light a fire under you to do what needs to be done. Does that make sense? God is sovereign. He's providential. He could have let them know what was being said before it got to the point where they got this. I mean, think about it. They had to go find a bull. They had to bring the bull in. They had the garlands. Everything's happening. They're like, what is going on? This is great. These people are celebrating. And then what? What's going on? Understand that there's nothing in our lives that God does not have His control over. And He had control over this. In fact, He wanted Paul and Barnabas to run into their midst and rent their clothes and to cry out and say, what mean ye by these things? Verse 15. We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities, these empty things unto the living God. He says, what is our message? Our message. This man walks. He leaps. He's excited. What are you doing? You're missing the whole point. And it was really amplified by the fact that they're going to go offer an animal. And God allowed that to happen. Do you know what's going on in the Kavanaugh hearings? Our world is being shown a dog and pony show. They're being shown what they worship, vanities. They're being shown that it doesn't matter what it takes to get what they want, that they'll do whatever it takes. And behind the scenes, we know it's true. We just don't like to say it out loud. Even they don't like to say it out loud. But now they have to own their very own responsibility for complicity if they so choose. Paul was able to dissuade them. And when they were brought back to their senses, it was through a message of God's goodness. In verse 15, it says, why do you do these things? We also are men of like passions with you. This word, passions, is only used one other time in the New Testament. It's in James chapter 5, where the Bible says Elijah was a man with like passions as you and me. It means he just had the same propensities. He had the same inclinations and weaknesses. You know, it was Elijah who went to heaven in a chariot of fire, and you say, yeah, right, he's not like me. He got to go on a chariot of fire. But if you remember why he went on that chariot of fire, it might bring you back to clarity. He was so depressed after the Mount Carmel event that he ran from the presence of Jezebel. And while he was out in the wilderness, he finds himself on a mountain in a cave. And God shows up and says, what are you doing here? And he says, I've been very jealous. And he wept in his mantle. That's the kind of passions. You feel bad sometimes. You feel depressed. You feel discouraged. So did Elijah. He couldn't see clearly either. Understand that. He couldn't. He couldn't see that Jezebel couldn't touch him because he was so depleted from the victory. The victory resulted when fire came down from heaven. I mean, a literal fire coming down from heaven. Miracles will not sustain you. You'll need a new one tomorrow. What we need faith. The Bible says it over and over again. The just shall live by faith. We take God at His word and say, you know what? This world is not our home. We're just passing through. We seek a city whose builder and maker is God, and we declare it plainly. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.